Hi, I'm Art Kaplan at the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center, and welcome to Close Up. This is an interview program where we get to talk to thought leaders from all over the world about social, ethical, policy questions in medicine and healthcare. And I'm very pleased today to have as my guest Dr. Baron Lerner, who is a historian and an ethicist at NYU Langone Medical Center in the Department of Population Health. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
You wrote a book called The Good Doctor by Beacon, just out, and available on Amazon and many other locations, I'm sure. It's an interesting look at shifts in ethics from the time your dad was a doctor back in Cleveland,
right,
to your own practice today and sort of what you learned about ethics and what, or at least how your father believed you ought to practice. So I gather your dad was one big paternalist.
Yeah, he was the quintessential paternalist. So much like most doctors of his era.
And we're talking...
He went to med school in the 1950s, started practicing in the 60s, and retired in the late 90s. So he made it into the bioethics era, but his heart was back in paternalism. And he was of the school the doctor knows best. So it was the doctor's job to learn as much about the patient's illness as possible, to know the science, to know what was best, and to know the patient as well as possible. So to spend time with them, to get to know them as a person, to get to know their values, and then using all of this scientific information and the knowledge of the patient to guide the patient and really tell them what to do.
And I should add, we hear paternalism today, we think of it as self-evidently bad, but it was more beneficent paternalism, right? I mean, trying to do what you knew from experience and training you believe to be best for your patient.
Oh, absolutely. This was very much, paternalism is a dirty word these days. Exactly. But this came out of a different mindset where, again, it was sort of the beneficent duty of the doctor to do what was best for the patient. Why would a doctor not want to use all of his or her knowledge to do the right thing for someone? So a lot of what went on in my dad's practice, and a lot of it, some of it was manipulation, and he told certain patients things, and he concealed the truth, and involved the family, sometimes not others.
All of it I can see the lawyers gasping
now.
Of course.
But it was all to get the patient to take the treatment that he thought was the most likely to help them.
So let's put the focus on you for a second. How do you see the pendulum swing from the way your dad practiced, a kind of benevolent paternalism, to today's emphasis on patient autonomy? Who do you think was right in this debate?
Well, when I started medical school, really, it was the early years of bioethics. And bioethics, to some degree, was a reaction against paternalism, and not just paternalism, but often arrogance of doctors who participated in things like the Tuskegee experiments and other things. And the bioethics folks came in, and other people as well, and said, you know what, the doctors don't do a good enough job of policing their profession, and they're making all the decisions, and patients are silent and not empowered, and this has to change. So as I became a doctor, that was in the forefront. So we were learning, it's not your job to tell people what to do. It's your job to inform them and then let them make the decision. So this was very much the rise of autonomy. So as I'm becoming a doctor, we're very much rejecting the exact philosophy that my dad had based his practice on for so many years.
Now, it's nice to say families, patients, they should make decisions. In my experience, there's a fair number who don't want to. There's a fair number who maybe for lack of education or just traumatized by disease and unexpected calamity, they can't do it. Should everybody still be treated as if they're an autonomous agent? Were all those philosophers and ethicists overestimating what it is that people can do in the real world of sickness and illness and disability?
I think maybe to get to the right point, somewhere in the middle, we had to go through a phase of true embrace of autonomy. So I think as a reaction to some of the problems of the past, we sort of went full tilt, at least in language, to support informed consent and patient autonomy, and you had to do everything you could to get the patient to make the decision. And I think all along there were those of us thinking, you know what, this isn't really working in some cases, not everybody really wants this. Nevertheless, it was an important exercise, I think. And now we're coming back to some of the issues that you're raising. So some patients don't want that. Some patients aren't capable of doing it. And the question then becomes, so how do we both empower these people but also help them to make the right decision? Mm-hmm. And these are the sorts of things I'm trying to get at in the book.
So what do you think your dad would say to you if he read your book? I was right, I told you so. What would he kind of draw as a lesson from reading the book?
Yeah, I think he thought as, I mean, he was glad that I was working on the book, and he knew we'd had disputes, friendly disputes over the years as I was doing ethics and coming in conflict with the sorts of beliefs that he had had over the years. So this was an open sort of debate between us. And yet, you know, I do think all along he was probably thinking, you know, this young whippersnapper, he thinks this autonomy thing is going to solve everything, and we had our heads in the ground. So he knew to some degree that probably people were going to come back a little bit in this direction and say, you know what, let's not throw out the wise doctor who tries to get to know his patients and guides his patients, his or her patients. That there still is a place for that. So
now,
that's where we are now, I think.
Trust-wise, do you think we're in an environment today? I hear a lot of people complaining, not much time.
Yes.
Patients don't know me. I come as a stranger frequently. How does autonomy or a beneficent paternalism play out in the world we're in today?
It makes it harder. I mean, these are really the problems. I think if we did have time, all the time in the world, and my dad had a lot more time, it would be easier to gain the trust of patients and forge a relationship. It's harder now because everything is very brief. And you could honestly ask yourself, what, as a patient, why would I trust this doctor who barely knows me to make decisions? And that's why we're not going back to paternalism. And in fact, I think some of the doctors today wouldn't be good enough at making those sorts of decisions. They wouldn't feel comfortable making the decisions. I think the challenge is, in short periods of time, and trying to use other people on the team besides doctors to try to get some meaningful interactions to build up some trust between doctors and patients and try to forge relationships that can then make productive decisions.
Yeah,
and
so that ought to be part of the health reform debate wherever you are on that, is to build that environment.
Absolutely.
So who would you want to be your doctor if you were sick? Your dad? Or you? And I don't mean by expertise, I mean by moral stance.
Well, I'd like an empowered, I'd like a doctor who has been through the autonomy, informed consent educational process. Because I think that that's, we're still winding up in an era in which that is crucially important. So I think that that's good. On the other hand, I'd like a doctor as well who is willing to spend a little extra time to listen when I'm talking, to ask if I have questions, and to try, even in a limited period of time, to get to know me in some way. And I'm more than happy to ask advice, and I might ask advice and say, what would you do? And I'm not uncomfortable with that, and I don't think in general patients should be uncomfortable with that, but they should know ultimately it is their decision. And they can ask for advice, but they shouldn't simply follow the doctor's directions because the doctor has said that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Get the book. I'm sure it'll prove to be a fascinating read. I'm Art Kaplan for Close Up. Thank you for watching.